This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/andyscrolls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/andyscrolls. My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the office, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea. So there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sauteed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls. I have some heel pain, probably from kicking your ass.
I like to write, but today I'm ready to read.
It's good. We were just having a little tagline.
Come on, little last minute.
And I have to say, I have been like stuck inside all summer because of the heat. You know this, we've discussed this. So yesterday I was like, fuck it, like armed to the teeth with sodium solution, like living my best life, ready to go. But I've been wearing, the few times I've like gone across the street or whatever to like grab something, I've been wearing these like terrible Zara sandals that really aren't meant for walking. And yeah. I absolutely fucked up my heel so badly that when I went downtown to Soho to get me a little vegan gluten-free Caesar salad, I had to do a fucking Uber pool back to my apartment. I couldn't even do the train. I was literally like, you're not doing this. Cause I think the number one waste of money is to spend money on like anything above a train, you know, ferry moment. Just for me personally, I like, it gives me anxiety to spend money on cars unnecessarily, which is what they usually are for me. And I had to do it. Cause I literally was like, oh, you can't walk right now. So that those I need to throw away. They look like shit. I've had them for a minute, but like, I think I maybe need to dispose of them. I think they're bad for my health.
It looks like they have to. It looks like they need to be rebooted like Jersey. Throw them both away.
Truly, I guess my right
foot. But feel better. Ouch.
Thank you. Thank you. My right foot, I assume, like my bad foot, I guess, would be one of those rooms at Rails. Mm-hmm. And my left foot, which is technically solid, it is a healthy foot, but it's constrained by the fact that I'm like dragging my right one back into my apartment. So what better comparison could there be? What better? What's the fucking thing that Jackie said and Teresa called her a cunt? Begins with an A. Analogy.
Oh, what yes.
What better analogy could there be than talking about New Jersey? But first, we need to talk a little bit about our guest. I love when I use R as the royal we. So welcome to Andy's Girls, episode 570, whatever. And I am so excited to have back for a little Zoom Kiki, New York Times bestselling author, whose books include I Can't Eat Jesus, I Don't Want to Die Poor, and I Finally Bought Some Jordans, which was released this spring. Michael Arsenault. Michael, how are we? We have a little cold, perhaps, not to spoil your news.
Love, love, love. Happy to be back. I'm hanging in there. I'm doing better than New Jersey. I'm trying to get to OC level of greatness. I'm in the midst of maybe Dubai, but okay. I'll stop with now. Nope, no more analogies.
Wow. I don't know.
Getting there, but not quite.
I hear you. So yeah, I just watched New Jersey because I really decided, I thought about watching it last night when it was like airing live, and I just realized I actually don't want to. So I started to rewatch 1700 episodes of The West Wing because that felt really timely and important, and procrastinated as long as I possibly could to right before we hopped on this Zoom because I was like, okay, you're going to watch it. Maybe it'll be interesting, but I feel like it won't, and we're going to sit through it. And we did. I watched it, and I watched the excellent Watch What Happens that followed it with Matt and Beau. But I mean, here's the question that I have for you. And it's mm-hmm. a question, I know I've discussed this on AG before, but now we have the benefit of more information. The episode started with the clip of Andy saying, it will all make sense why we didn't have a reunion once we watched the finale. So now we have the benefit of seeing both the reunion and this Splenda, Sweet and Low, non-reunion, quasi-reunion thing. When you think about what Andy previously said, it will all make sense. Does it make sense to you in watching the finale and the reunion why we didn't have a reunion? Do you think that was the right call?
I suppose it technically makes sense if the subtext is essentially we think it'll get too violent and we won't go anywhere and we're done with them, which is kind of what they've been getting at. So I get it to that extent. But to be honest, after watching it, they could have had a reunion to me and been fine, just have hired more security or just, I don't know. I dreaded watching it, but I pretty much dreaded watching most of the season. There have been some moments that I've enjoyed a few episodes, but for the most part, like, I haven't been really into the show as much as other people have been. I think they've been stuck for a while, but when I watched it last night, I'm like, we're just watching them watch clips, like the couch show. It felt pointless and aimless, but I guess given the circumstances, I understand their choice, but I personally think they could have tried to do something else, a little bit more interactive, a little bit where like maybe fans could still ask questions. Maybe if Andy showed up there and talked to them in separate rooms, something that would feel like we were getting some type of, because I feel like, to me, most of them have something to answer for. I also realize like I'm not a tree hugger, but I fault all of them for the demise of the show. And I don't necessarily think one is so much more hostile than the other. And I only said it because I didn't watch all of Watch What Happens Live, but I saw clips. And I saw Matt essentially saying how much more fun the Marge Room was, and that's the show. And I respectfully, vehemently disagree, but I'm going to shut up now because I'm jumping around. But yeah, I just felt like they could have done something else. It felt really pointless. I mean, they could have left it at, I guess, at the finale if they were going to do that. But just looking at them in the room and watching Marge say fake Chanel, or like, the only thing that kind of, I enjoyed, said I was going to stop, Dolores challenging Teresa about Louis. was about the only thing I thought, okay, this is at least advancing something that we saw, you know, like moving story. I just feel like this show is really stuck. Yeah.
Okay. I have about 16 follow-ups. So with Matt saying, and the idea being, which many people feel like, not everyone, but I think there's a segment of the audience that feels like, get rid of Teresa, Jackie, LOL, but she doesn't count. She's a non-starter. And Jen Aiden, and maybe focus the future around the people in the other room. What about that other room? Was your disagreement the idea that that other room was filled with light? Or was the disagreement that, like, this is not the future of New Jersey?
I don't think it's the future of New Jersey. To me, honestly, I understand why people don't like Teresa individually. I find Louis disturbing in some of what he does. He very much is someone who was admittedly angry and is, and I mean, it might take him a lifetime to deal with some obvious anger issues. I do not think he's alone in that. But to specifically the question, the few episodes that I have watched and been able to watch, and I keep up enough with the clips, that entire room does not advance the story at all. They don't contribute anything. Like, there was plenty of moments this season where they did not have to talk about Teresa. They made a choice to talk about Teresa. They made a choice to drag some of these things out. They, as another group, could have led by example and have been the show they want to be. They all do these backhanded. I personally think they, like, Marge and Teresa have contributed the most toxicity to the show. I even, as Marge is taking these little snips at each person, she doesn't bring anything to the show anymore to me. I like, Melissa is enjoyable. She's very pleasant. She's like a Cynthia. She can float in any room, but she has nothing going on. In the season finale, when she repeatedly invoked herself trying to get Teresa's attention to fight, and Teresa was not giving her any light. Well, they did at a little moment, but to me, I was like, is this all you have to give after all these years? Making up things about going on? Like, I don't see that. And personally, I will, this is a tangent, but I don't like what Louis said. I'm glad he apologized. It was disturbing. It was wrong. And I think he takes things to an extremity that is concerning. At the same time, Louis hired a PI. Marge does a lot of dirt and digging. And if I'm not mistaken, she was tripped on some lies in the finale about when she talked to the ex. I find all of this inappropriate, to be honest. But Teresa's the only one to me each season that does bring something new, good, bad, or whatever. There's always something going on with her and the world that she is a part of and the characters that she brings into the show. She moves the story along whether you not enjoy the story. She actually brings life to the show. If they don't continue with Teresa, I hope they find someone who gives as much to the show as she does in terms of story. Whereas with Marge, I don't really know much about her after all these years. And most of the people that we're even talking about are people who don't want to be mentioned on the show. And I wish we would all just leave them alone. And if I'm not mistaken, she has her own sort of history too. I just sometimes when they talk about shady deals and lawsuits and all these things, lies to each other, I'm like, well, all of them, well, the main characters behind that are all guilty of that in some capacity. And this is the part I really wanted to get, the Joe Gorga. For me, as concerning as Louis is, Joe has said some of the most despicable things on this show until very recently. And when it comes to violence, has been more violent than anyone else. And I, even though Jennifer Aiden, that mouth is a lot, and I'm not condoning violence, but people, you know, antagonize. But I still remember not that long ago when Joe Gorga back at a hotel during the BravoCon thing was like literally lunging at her and trying to get at her. That's never been talked about. That's never been corrected. But like we talk about Louis, then even Melissa's like, when Louis said, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. Your husband has said some really despicable things about his sister, about her ex-husband, about the family in front of, like, y'all are all nasty. But for me, when I'm watching the show, who's actually bringing something different each season? It's only Teresa and Dolores. I like Jen Fessler. I actually thought when Dolores said her, Teresa, and Fessler, I could see that. But I don't know. I mean, I understand that Matt's point about them being a group and them might have light, but I don't really think there's a lot of story there. And the same goes to Danielle, because Danielle is about her brother and her father who we don't see. And even though I don't like how Jennifer Aiden handle that. It was in very poor taste all around. I do get the crux of what she's getting at, because Danielle seems to do have a reputation about how she treats people, how she pays people. And I do think that's something that can be interrogated on the show, because this show so much is about people fighting for fame. It's the show is about the show, whereas I do remember when it at its peak, it just had more family story. It just had more story. There were so many things going on in the midst of the chaos, where now I'm just watching a bunch of people who hate each other repeating the same talking points. And it just gets darker and darker and deeper. But I don't know what all the direction, but I just think with Louis, I do think he's a problem, but I do find it interesting how he's made out to be like this big culprit. Because I think Matt said this, I don't think he's the catalyst for the show sinking. I think Margaret and Teresa and Joe Gorga and Melissa have all contributed to that for several years. And in terms of like who can switch up the cast, who of those four has brought, and I shouldn't even include Joe, but he might as well be, who has done the most to the show, even in recent years, to me, is still Teresa. And I actually would like to see Teresa in an environment where she likes the people, kind of how she was on Girls Trip.
But Girls Trip was, people had the benefit of being surrounded by their equals, by their contemporaries. It required leaving New Jersey and being surrounded with people that she felt like, and this is not me insulting Teresa, I think this is something that probably many, if not all of the cast felt, of Girls Trip felt, was like, these are people like at my level. I don't need to stoop down. And I also maybe don't need to play the ego game because I'm looking at people who are all probably equally successful. So I don't know that you could find that in New Jersey, because it doesn't exist. It's just it's part of the reality TV valuation that it's like the value of celebrity was pretty evenly matched.
I guess fair enough. I guess my central point is I personally do not think that they could not recast this show, not find more people in her actual friend group and other people from casting, and it not be a reset. I don't think if they rebooted the show and she was one of the cast members that stayed, I don't think it would immediately go back to exactly how it's been. I don't personally make that assumption about her. I feel like it would be interesting to see a different side of Teresa that is not immediately in defense mode. I feel like she's always been stuck in that mode ever since her sister joined the show, sister-in-law. But I don't know. I remember at one point DJ Envy's wife, I doubt that happens now, when she was talking about joining the show, I actually would have been really interested in seeing that dynamic, because I'm like, that would be a different part of Jersey, different circles, and it could still blend. I personally think Teresa is the show still. I don't see how they would not have her a part of it in some capacity. And that's not a bias of preferring her, because again, I think she does plenty. I get why people don't like her. But in terms of one of the cast, like who really advanced the story, I just don't think there's any comparison on that show to Teresa outside of like Dolores.
So two thoughts. One, DJ Envy has discussed the fact that they've been approached multiple times and he's always said no. And I don't think that.
Yes, he says no. It's not
going to happen, especially not now. It may have happened previously, but I feel like his life is, he would be probably less open to questions about his decision.
Well, no, he don't want to talk about any of that. I mean, I know she wanted to do it, but it's not going to happen. But I do think, because it's such a Jersey, it's like a certain part of Jersey too. It's not that far from New York. I just think there is a pool of women, unless they tried a different part of Jersey, which would also be interesting. I don't know. I would personally like to see how Teresa interacts in a different group of women. And if Teresa does leave and doesn't join, I would still prefer to see like Dolores and a Fessler. Even though Fuda is not my favorite, I could see her on there in some capacity. But to me, her and Jackie are kind of the same person, in that they're fans who joined the show.
With Teresa, though, in defense mode, I don't know that this is a fair comparison, but I just think of her in that meeting with Karen at example.com, also known as Jim James Leonard. And I think of his description of her, how upset she is. She's more upset now than she was when she went off to camp. And I don't know that Teresa's home life exists in a universe entirely separate from defensiveness. There's something to be said for being in a dynamic where it feels like there has to always be somebody, ideally, on the outside of their bubble. I don't want it to be inside their bubble, because that would make things much more dire, I would assume. But outside of their bubble, who's always coming for them. It's the best way to ensure that your wife potentially is armed by your side. It's the best way to ensure your own like personal victimization, which can help you strategically, legally, whatever else, to make sure people know that there is always someone coming for you. You always have to be on high alert. And that's why all of your motivations and behaviors are always justified. And so I don't know that that would lose itself if Marge and whomever else aren't on the show. I just think there would be someone else on the show, because if the show is built around conflict and drama and also friendship, I don't know how you survive the conflict and drama, because you know Louis does not play well, which is not me excusing anything about Joel Gorga. I like completely acknowledge what you're saying, but I just think the dynamics are so different. And the example of that I pull from what I considered a little bit of a shit show of a special episode is Dolores trying to figure out a way to talk around what Louis did to Frankie Jr., where Dolores, mm-hmm. I thought, if I'm understanding this correctly, and I only watched it, I think I probably went back and watched that moment a second time, but in full, I only watched it once. God forbid. But Dolo, to me, in that moment was trying to say, like, I didn't even defend Frankie Jr. when his name was referenced, when whatever, because I just kind of wanted to get to the other end. Like, if I'm understanding correctly, what I believe she was saying in that moment was something along the lines of like, don't come, we should not come for people's children. And by example, I could have said more stuff in defense of my child that I didn't, because I was trying to keep the peace. And maybe that's my own projection from my like understanding of what I believe happened with Frankie Jr. and Louis. But then I'm looking at how Frank Sr. responded to it. And he also was in a position of like, at that reunion in the flashback of like, I'm not going to say something, he's got to say something first. Something happened with Frankie Jr. I have no idea what. I just think it became a question of like, I don't feel comfortable talking about that because of Louis's involvement. And I think that speaks volumes, because if we want to talk about how these shows are at points formulaic or they feel manufactured, and a lot of that starts with Housewives, to me, there's a difference between like evading details, honesty, truth, and whatever, and maybe being afraid. And I just think the fear factor here is really important, because I think that Dolores would have handled that dynamic differently if Louis was not married to Teresa on that stage, whatever else. And I think she was smart in the moment. I found the way she referred to it in this new episode interesting. But I think that would probably be more the standard, that something happens and they don't want to discuss it, maybe because they just don't want to discuss it. She just might be like, I don't want to talk about my child's employment history because it's outside of the show and it's not anybody's business, and I fully respect it. But I also think there maybe is something else here going on, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndySkrulls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndySkrulls for 15% off today. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is a glow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's deluxe kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/AndySkrulls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/AndySkrulls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/AndySkrulls. Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water.
I didn't read what Dolores said in that way. I just felt like she didn't want to talk about it because she wanted to keep it out of place. I didn't personally look at her and think she was motivated by fear, Louis. I think he's a lot and he talks very menacing. I personally, given Dolores' background, I would be surprised if she were right him. Like, she's dealt with, I would imagine, much worse situation.
But doesn't that say something, that knowing who Dolores is and how she responds, that she would respond in that way twice? Because it does feel out of character for her. So you have to think about which other character is involved. I don't think it's her children's film on the show. I don't think it's, there's something, I don't know. It could be me in absolute paranoia mode, genuinely, because of what we've seen, but something does not pass the smell test here.
I don't know. I've seen her daughter, but I don't know what she does for work. I don't remember.
She's a veterinarian. She loves animals.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she goes into that many details about her children in general. It's like to a point. I didn't take it as the fear. It doesn't strike me as fear is motivating, whereas like just keep her kids out of it. I took it more of like an old school, let's keep this separate. And maybe Frank has some other type of, you know, issue with him. He thinks he may be just a shady guy because he does has shady business dealings. But again, like Frank has been accused of some shady business dealings. So has Joe. And again, I think that might be a fear fact. Maybe some people are afraid of Louis, but I also think in terms of actual violence on the show, who in the immediate in the last two seasons has been the most violent, who's been the quickest to say something, just as foul, if not worse, who's lunging at people, who's hollering and screaming? It's Joe Gorga. And so it's like, I find it, again, I think Louis is an odd duck, but when it's like Louis can be made into this menacing character because he can be menacing, but at the same time, there's this very violent, repeatedly hot pocket who is just wildly abusive verbally and all types of things, who we've seen outside of the show running to the mat while his son is like wrestling and trying to like jump in, like he's an aggravating little man. I don't find him any, they're two of the same coin to me. I think Teresa's choices in men has a lot, you know, is influenced by a lot, but to me, they're two flips of the same coin. And generally speaking, even in a reboot, whoever is there, I personally hope that while the husbands obviously have to be a part of the show, I really hope they pull back on the involvement on the husbands, because I think, just generally speaking, they're not that interesting to me. Their sophomoric stuff is corny after all so many years. And the men add a level of aggression to the climate that's already aggressive by nature of just how Jersey gets down. So in that regard, I would like to see less of Louis and Joe, like if Melissa stayed or whatever. Like I think the men I would like to see less of. But I don't know, maybe she is motivated by fear, but I didn't take it that way. But I just think in terms of questionable men on the show and the actions and how their involvement has worsened the climate, Louis is not the only problem to me. I think there are plenty of problems. And again, I think Margaret with the, what is she? Well, they plotted to take down Louis before the reunion, but she didn't want to call it that. I mean, a lot of them do that. So I get, you know, it's part of it. But I also think at this point, if you all keep having to do this every season, like you all don't function. And I also think that kind of behavior, we don't need that on the Housewives. Like I wish they would try less. I don't know.
How do you teach Teresa to do the opposite of what she has at this point been trained to do over the course of several seasons? If we're saying that New Jersey, I hear you on the aggressiveness. I think you're exactly spot on. I hear you on the less of the husbands. This should not be their show. And they add that extra component that is really not a great idea. I totally hear you on that. But also, if Teresa's the one who's been accused of all this strategy with content creators, which they glossed over as quickly as they possibly
fucking could,
the Jackie stuff, calling people in Tenafly to see who Evan might be fucking and can I get some photos and whatever else, what she has done for season after season after season, it's, I don't know how a person argues, then let's structure the show around Teresa, but we want to get rid of all the negativity when she's been at the core of behind the scenes creation of stuff that she's never held accountable for, or on camera stuff that she's also never been held accountable for, because there's usually somebody else that she can kind of balance the scales with. I don't think you can train her. She's not the Teresa of like Great American History tropes. Like she's that's not who she is anymore. She's told us that how many times? So when are we going to listen?
To be fair, I didn't say solely negativity. I also said the fact that Marge and Melissa and a lot of them don't contribute anything to the show anymore other than just negativity and digging through the crates. So, I mean, I would imagine anyone who stays can be given a stern warning, or, I mean, it could probably go without being said at this point. They're all on their heels that you and anyone can be replaced, and that can kind of give you an opportunity to either sink or swim. But I think just ultimately, it's not just for me that they're negative. I just think they don't bring anything to the show. Like Melissa, her stories from this year, the year before, I did not, to me, there hasn't been much movement. Same with Marge. There's only so much of her life we can know because a lot of people don't want to be involved. So she only volunteers what she wants. And then a lot of it is just sort of kind of, you know, And I will say she's had great moments this season. Like, you subpoenaed the wrong bitch. Like, that's her element. And she's had the moments, like, they're funny. But again, I think that's all she kind of offers. And so, like, for me, it's not just negativity. I just genuinely think Teresa, Dolores, they always have something different going on in addition to whatever else they add to the show as far as a group. It's not just that they're negative. I just don't know where are we going to go with Marge? Where are we going to go with some of the other women? I would pick Danielle and Rachel over personally Marge and Melissa, just because even if they're not my favorites, I think they're the best newbies we've had on the show in a long time. And to their own credit, like, they're not really, to me, at the level of like what a housewife should be, but the economy sucks, so I get it. So social mobility for Danielle. You know, like, there's something there. That's all. I just think they have more to offer. Whoever stays, I hope, can switch it up a little bit. But I just think that I just didn't get the idea, like, oh, this room is so great because that's the direction of the show. I'm like, what would they be talking about? Because when we've had them in the same room all season, they mostly just talk about Teresa, which again was a choice.
Well, I think whatever happens with a potential future next season of New Jersey, there is going to be a reset season. There needs to be a rebuilding season. It has to happen. That's realistic. I don't think we're going to come in, guns blazing, nor should we. But I also think, Marge is best served. She has stuff that just works against her because her kids don't want to be on the show. We don't know her relationship with them. She does not want them mentioned. They don't want to be mentioned. That works against her. She falls into the trap that you've seen with Brandi Glanville, that you've seen with Sonia, that you've seen with other housewives who choose to, or someone has chosen for them. Your kids are not going to be on TV. It just hurts your time on the show because it sharpens and defines maybe some negative attributes that go closer to like strategy or explosiveness or reactive, because we're not softened by seeing other parts of who you are. So that is a count against her that has happened with other housewives. I know Brandi has talked a lot about it. I don't know that Sonia has as much, but that's a very, very different situation with her and her ex. But I think that Marge is best on the show when she is in a defensive space. And I think Melissa is best on the show when she's in the ensemble. I think that Melissa is an effective beta. I don't even know if that I would say a strong beta. And I personally really like Melissa. I think she's good in an ensemble space where she's like part of the reaction. I don't think the show could or should be built around her. And I would argue the same with Marge. But I also think, like, what are they bringing to the table? Well, to a certain extent, production set all these people up to fail by deciding to continue with the exact same cast. So the choice to talk about Teresa, how could you not? Because I think a lot of people are still processing the fact that Louis was still there and did not get into a lick of trouble as a result of, you know, last season's allegations. And I'm not taking away from like the stuff that Joe Gorga did at his son's wrestling match. I'm not taking away from any of that. And you could, I don't remember the timing of it, but if it happened before the filming or of the season, there's something to be said for the fact that nobody mentioned it or included it and that they are protected. I'm not disagreeing with you at all, but I am also saying that when it comes to like, how could we not talk about Teresa? Well, Teresa was doing the same thing about Marge. I just err on the side of agreeing more with Marge's perspective. And I would also say that what Louis is saying and doing, what Teresa is saying and doing in relation to Marge, is much darker to me than Marge's responses. To me, Marge was like reacting from a place of fire, but still having these moments that feel like classic housewives. Like Teresa on this newest episode needing to be force-fed, like she was having a fucking feeding tube filled with morality to get her to choke on the words so that she could finally say, you know what, I guess it wasn't great, and I'm going to have him apologize for saying that Marge's child should suffer, as if to say that because we can't relitigate it. I've talked about it too many times, but I just don't know the sensitivity chip, morality chip, empathy chip is missing to such a level that it would be hard for me to imagine a world in which Teresa is in a meadow filled with flowers and daisies and everybody loves her or they don't, and she's still okay moving forward. I just don't know that she has capacity to do that. And like, I don't think she's, I don't even want to say what I was going to say next. I don't know what's going to happen to her in her life. There will probably be life events that will happen that could push the story forward, but I don't know that I want to pay that cost as a viewer. I don't know if we want to get out of strategy, we want to get out of reactivity. It's hard to imagine thinking of Teresa as the future of the show because she's so much to me connected with like this current environment, and she deserves accountability for that.
Yeah, I guess I just still look at it. I think they're all pretty terrible to each other, and I'm personally kind of bored with it. I think with the Teresa thing, lack of empathy, I saw that as just very stubbornly, but that seems more traditional way of thinking. She's very like defend your man at all costs at the expense sometimes of your own reputation and I don't want to say sanity, but she looked a little crazy in that moment until she had to bring it down. The thing with her was like, once she makes up her mind about something, she's stuck, she's there, and that's all it is, and she can't move beyond it. It's not great. And I do think, again, like, I'm glad Louis apologized because I found that pretty disgusting.
Did he apologize? He said, I'm sorry this was Marge's fault. I'm sorry that Marge did these things so that I would... He did
it in the post?
Yeah.
I thought he said his behavior was wrong. What did he...
He said, I can pull it up. His exact language, the finale was very tough for me to watch and I wanted to address it with you all. After watching the finale, I was disappointed in my actions in bringing up Margaret Joseph's son. The reason he was even brought up was because I have been dealing with being falsely accused of calling Margaret's son at his work, which is simply not true. For the last year, Margaret kept putting the narrative out there that I called her son at work, and I have had to deal with it knowing I am being lied on. Still, I know better not to bring someone's child up, and it is something I deeply regret. So I do want to apologize and acknowledge that I was wrong. There's been a lot of toxicity on the show that has affected everyone on the show. We have been dealing with a lot of frustrating things behind the scenes, and it has all been very hard for our entire family and my children, who have been really impacted by all that's happened at the hands of certain people. Two wrongs don't make a right, and I deeply regret saying what I said.
So I'm wrong, but let me tell you why I did it and why I was wrong to do it.
I'm wrong, but Margaret put me to this point, and also there's a mass conspiracy, and so, you know, I deeply regret saying what I said, which happened because other people brought me to the point because they are doing bad things. And I also, this might not connect, but I do just want to reference the fact that when the screen panned to Melissa saying, you know, Louis, who was it? His like former niece by marriage or something went up to Melissa at a dinner table in Jersey and was like, be careful about this man. You know what Teresa's response was? Wow, I need to tell Louis Jr. what his cousin thinks of his dad. So do I think that Teresa has the capacity to stop the toxicity? This isn't a question that you're asking, but like, it's one I am. Does Teresa have the capacity to stop the toxicity from happening to future generations? She doesn't know how to bring the kids out of it. She's going to go home and tell Louis Jr., guess who you need to excise from your crew, from your family circle, your fucking cousin, because she's saying shit about your dad. Like, you could say, devil's advocate, you could say that's what Melissa said by saying, Antonia, you're saying that Antonia's mother is a whore. I'm going to tell her what you think of her mom. I'm not going to like completely throw the baby out with the bathwater there, but I'm just speaking out loud. I'm just speaking about loud about how great Teresa is and how she's very much focused on love, love, love. And she certainly understands that this is adult conversation, not stuff we want to talk with the kids at the table because of what?
I not to deflect, but the when you mentioned how she invoked Antonia about saying about her mother, I found that really tasteless because, and Melissa has repeatedly talked about not involving the kids, but then brings up by name Teresa's kids or those awkward interactions, and that whole like, oh, Antonio's mom is a whore. Like, I wish they got along and we could stop watching them fight. But I actually don't like, Melissa gets on her high horse sometimes. And I'm like, you are a little tacky for bringing up these kids too. Because I don't hear her bringing up her kids' names lately. I've not lately heard that. Since they stopped dealing with each other this season and they haven't interacted, I have not heard Teresa, other than speaking to Joey at the game, which I'm tired of the softball game. That's personally for me. I hear about that Teresa's going to be stubborn and toxic, and that is going to happen or implode, and I'm going to lift her in prayer. I get all that Teresa will be who Teresa is, but I don't. For me, that doesn't undercut my actual just thing about the show. It's like she might be full of chaos, but at least it's something that is different and interesting for me. I'm engaged to watch, whereas I'm watching other people repeat the same things season after season after season. And so while she might be stuck on her plane and needs to work on herself and that and deal with that man of questionable a lot of things. At the same time, I'm bored with the stuckness over here, if that makes sense. But back to that Teresa thing, I have not heard her mention, brought up the names about her nieces and nephews' names this year. Did she? I could be wrong, because you watched it more than I did. But I didn't like in that moment, one, I just didn't like Melissa was fishing for a fight. And then to invoke her kid's name, I'm like, leave it alone. Just like, leave it alone. Like, have your beef with her, but leave them out. Like, stop doing that. Because you say awful things about Gia's mom, and you let other adults in the room, when they bring up Gia, you don't come to her defense, even if she's an adult now and maybe should not be engaged. The fact that she's still your niece, so you don't say anything about that.
Gia doesn't want anyone to mention her at all ever again. This is not me criticizing Gia, I'm just saying, being explicit. She does not want people to name her on the show. She does not want to be referenced, which is difficult when you are also filming the show, when you are choosing to do confessionals. It's a difficult, delicate kind of scenario, because what sort of, to a certain extent, is being asked is for her to say whatever she wants, which I sort of don't have a problem with, but for her to say whatever she wants and then have no one ever mention or respond, that's kind of what people are being asked to do.
Fair for the present moment, but in years past, in recent years past, her aunt and uncle have taken shots at her on Instagram and going back and forth with them, which I also found to be distasteful, as just like, I would not be going at my niece on Instagram back and forth.
Well, I think that happened because they had a social media moment.
Or Melissa takes a little digs.
Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clawfist. And then there are the small moments, the slow mornings spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year, and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code ANDYSCIRLS through December 31. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code ANDY at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code ANDY at liquidiv.com.
Yeah, I don't. So why not bring Teresa back? Because it's going to be great. I don't know. I also wonder if you think of a universe that will exist with, Melissa and, because this is how it worked, Melissa and Joe continuing on the show, would they bring with them the toxic energy that they have displayed in moments of conflict with Teresa there? Like, would they be able to reset and restart? Would we see a different kind of journey for them than I guess we've seen maybe the entirety of their time in the show, because Teresa's always been on the show? Would we see that versus would we see that with Teresa? Or we're saying it doesn't matter because Teresa would bring good TV and we know who she is. I don't know.
I'm personally saying I'm more interested in Teresa's story because it's at least changing and evolving. Whereas with Joe Gorga, I might see him lunge at somebody, try to fight somebody, have some inappropriate blow up doll, make some weird sexist offhand comments. Everybody laughs and jokes, ha 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 ha. Him whine and complain about how awful his whatever is, but not admitting any fault about his role in the situation. I get why people don't like and are tired. I get why people are just as tired as Teresa is. Maybe I'm just being saying I'm tired of them. It's a preference for me. I don't think they can pull off a full reboot. I don't think that would be the wisest. But just in terms of what a mix can be, I hope it's, if I had to choose between Teresa and Melissa, I would go with Teresa for me just for the sake of story. That's all. I still find a lot of them all engaging in really bad behavior against each other. I think they've all equally if not equally, not that far away from contributing to the toxicity of the show now. Louis alone did not bring the violence and rage and wrath. That came long before him. He's not helped it. He's made it worse in some instances, but I also think, I don't know, I don't hire a PI. Why are you talking to his ex? I'm still like, yeah, Teresa will give you the same, but again, I think she at least has some story other than just with Joe Gorgon. I literally think it'll be blow up dolls, fights, and him trying to take the show from Melissa. If Melissa were by herself and we saw less of Joe, again, like with less of the husbands, I'd be open to that. Her kids are getting older. She's going to be, I mean, she has her business, but I just don't want to see a fashion show. I would love to hear more about Melissa, maybe see more of her family again. What is she going to do as her kids get older? And she's thinking about that. That man is a lot and he's always around her. Maybe she breaks out a little more. I'm not opposed to, I think Melissa herself is good TV. She can be, but I do think it's been like, 1 year it's the fake sibling, the next year it just hasn't been as much going on with her lately. But I also think she's also trapped in that she's long been caught up in her husband's drama, so she hasn't had the fairest shake either. But that, by extension, you join the show with your system. I'm not going down that road, but you get, you know, I'm not opposed to her per se, but I just think if I had to choose how it's going to be, because I don't think most of the people are going to change, what's my personal poison in terms of like how they try to reshuffle this.
So if you bring back Teresa, you obviously can't bring back Rachel. So you're asking to bring back Teresa, who's not...
You don't think so?
Definitely not. No.
I don't need... Personally, I don't need... I like Rachel. I don't want her husband. The husband is exhausting to me. I don't really enjoy Rachel that much, but I think she at least is a good... go. Again, to me, she's like Jackie. She was a fan that joined the show. And much like Jackie, Teresa disappointed her and Wills because she was awful to her. And then she reacted. So they're never, I don't think Rachel will swing back. And then she's pregnant. I saw that this morning. She said
at the end of the episode, she was like, I'm pregnant. Everybody screamed. And it was actually nice. It was like nice to end the episode.
That was a nice note.
A positive note, on like a light positive note. That was a good thing.
Some life to go with death.
Yeah, because the show obviously has curdled, and you know, I would argue that they did not make the right choice in doing this instead of a reunion. Let it be a bad reunion. We've seen it previously. Maybe you need to do a better job of producing your cast.
Oh, production failed them. Yes, for sure.
Yeah, they production failed them. And more importantly, because I could honestly give a shit at the end of the day, production failed us. And what we're pretending is that this needed to happen and that this was better. And I disagree with both counts. Like, I don't think that the show was better served in what was already a terrible situation by not having the reunion. Have the reunion and have it, God forbid, be one part. You know, like, and figure out a way if you need to stagger so not everybody is on stage at the same time. Well, guess what? You could do that with this fucking charcuterie brunch. So you could do that at the reunion, too. It doesn't mean it's like all or nothing. It either has to be exactly as reunions have always been filmed or this other piece of shit. And it's like, no, you could figure out some alts. You could figure out some way to do it. You just didn't want to. And maybe it's because it would have been really hard or really intense, or really bad. But you have the good fortune of seeing a number of terrible reunions that we have somehow survived. So nobody's saying it's going to be great. I also think, and some could say it would be impossible to do in the ordinary reunion environment. But since you've opened the door to alternates, why not fucking figure some shit out? Have them in different spaces coming out at different times. Sheena had to be like 8,000 yards away from goddamn Rachel, Raquel, Rocky or whatever the fuck. And you guys figured out a way to do it. So, my God, just, you know, figure it out. I don't know. It was kind of like a nothing burger. Also a technical point, but, and I might be remembering this incorrectly, but I thought on episodes of The People's Couch, the screen was like the people on the couch. And then the smaller screen was like Game of Thrones or whatever the fuck they were reacting to. Why on God's green earth did they have the larger screen be the shit we already watched last week?
It was so strange.
And our the whole reason for this fucking shit is to see the cast react, and you have them at a little square. Now, as we both know, I am quite young, but I was fucking straining to see, like, what is even happening on that screen? And also during the Jackie reveal shit, we didn't even see Jackie's face for all of that. I needed two screens for that.
We did not have Jackie's face.
We had it like halfway through, but we didn't get it during the full. I wanted to see, because she looked like she was holding a shirt. So like, I wanted to see all of that moment, but it was just a strange decision. It was genuinely pop-up video, and it was not great. It was like,
no, it wasn't.
It was the video popped. It was not great. I don't understand any of the creative decisions behind it, but at least it was something. So God bless. I guess we should be grateful for that. I don't know.
Yeah, see them in what, like a year and a half? Because I'm assuming it's going to take them a while to deal with that show. Yeah, it went out with such a whimper.
It did. It really did. And how unfortunate for a franchise that for a very long time was like really consistent and something that people really look forward to, myself certainly included. So it's interesting. I think it's important to hear your perspective as always, but I think also there is a significant portion of the audience, some who are militantly, militant tree huggers. I mean, when you hear tree hugger, you know, you have a certain understanding of a level of passion that people feel. But I think there are also a number of audience members who are like, yes, I'm Team Teresa, not to the extent that I'm like coming up with weird narratives so that she'll have something that she can use while she's filming as a form of revenge. But also like, I want to see her continue on the show. And I think that's an absolutely valid opinion and something that deserves to be heard. So I'm appreciative for it, because I think, you know, as a Gorgita Crunch and someone who's really been frustrated by Teresa for a minute, for more than a minute, that it's helpful to hear a different perspective, and certainly communicated in a way that I absolutely could understand.
No, I appreciate you, because in my mind, when I was talking to her, I was like, I wonder how many people listening are throwing rocks at my head right now. And I'm kidding. But no, yeah, I used to really enjoy Jersey, and I don't know. You know what? I would have never imagined that I would enjoy OC now as much as I do. So maybe they will figure it out. But yeah, I don't know if empathy is the right word, but I appreciate you allowing me, because I'm not really hugging the tree. I'm by it. I'm like, okay, I get a little bit. You're not a great communicator at all, and you have some traits that we need to fix. But like, if she had a good publicist, an actual good publicist and lawyer, like, or something like a translator, so much of her life on that show would have gone better. But, you know, she got it.
Yeah, she needs to. I mean, LOL that she's maybe not surrounded by the best team. Like, that's the way of thinking about things.
Trying to be generous.
Very. Doing some charitable work over here. Listen, this is apparently going to be a two-parter. So welcome to my life, because I swear to God, like, of recent, there's been just like 900-hour episodes, and I'm grateful for it. I'm thankful for it. So I think we do need to shift on over to part two, because this was not planned.
Cool, sorry.
No, it was not planned, but that's my favorite kind of conversation, because we had a lot to discuss. So I do want to shift over to part two, because we need to mention it all about Orange County. So guys, head on over to part two, available now.